Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the September 19th Village Board meeting. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will call our meeting to order with a roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Thank you. President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Are there any modifications to this evening's agenda? The only modification we will make is for item 3A, the award of Wings of Life, will be delayed just a little bit until the presenter is here. So we will play that by ear. When the presenter shows, we will take care of that agenda item. Any other modifications to this evening's agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adopt the modified agenda.
So moved.
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We will now move on to item 3B, Central Brown County Water Authority 2018 Good News Budget.
It's one of my favorite visits every year. We'll talk about budget, and this year we actually have some.
Yes. Could you do me a favor, and for the sake of the audience, introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. I'm Dave Aklovic. I'm manager for Central Brown County Water Authority. We provide water to Alloway and five other communities locally, and have been in business. This is our 10th anniversary, so we've been operating now for 10 successful years.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. So we even have a new, brand new logo. Let me see if I can get this. Logo and 10-year anniversary button. No. Budget and water rates. We do this presentation every year. This year will be a little bit different, a little bit better maybe than some others. We had some budget issues coming forward. First two are kind of good news. Our debt service is finally leveled off. When we sold our original bonds in 2005, they were an inclining scale based on assumptions of growth that didn't happen. We had a couple of steps in our refinancing in 2014. The steps are now gone. So from now on, our debt service will be flat for the next 17 years. So rates will be affected accordingly, which is good news. Continued growth. Our members continue to add new customers, and that's going forward. On the other side of it, declining water sales. You guys are the worst culprits, down 30% since 2005. So from the positive perspective, our members aren't losing much water anymore, and they're pretty careful about what they use. So from a conservation perspective, it's great. It would have been better had we anticipated it more when we put the authority together. Take or pay has become a little bit of an issue. Our contract with Manitowoc Public Utilities has a number in it that says you will buy this much water from us, whether you use it or not. For the last 2 years, and it'll begin this year, we are buying water we're not using. So we will be negotiating with MPU later this year. And we also have member taker pays, which are, again, getting out of balance a little bit. As I said before, the debt service, we had a couple of steep increases prior years. This year it's up to $400, so pretty good news for everybody. As I said, we're growing communities in total. We've added almost 3,500 new connections since the authority started, or since 2007, since we started operations. So that's the good part of things. It's about a 13% increase in services over across the six members. Unfortunately, water sales have not gone that direction. Early on, there were a couple of industrial losses in De Pere. But pretty much from 2007 or 8 on, that's just been conservation, water loss corrections, and pretty much that's it. So the red line that goes up, I put in that just to give me a heart attack sometimes. It's what we anticipated when we put the authority together. The blue line is, of course, where we are, and we're a good chunk apart at this point in time. Alloy, as I said, you're one of my leading culprits here in terms of conservation, and have declined substantially over the over a period of time. It amounts to about 26%. So, good for you, not so good for the water authority.
Would you attribute most of that to the change in metering and or awareness combination thereof?
Yes. Oh, well, a couple of things. At the original start of this, when you were all getting your water from wells, water was really cheap. And so it didn't really matter if you had a little bit of leak. It would be more expensive to fix the leak than to worry about the cost of producing water. When you got on the other end of a meter and you paid for every gallon that went through it, conservation became not only a social issue but a financial one. And so all of our members have spent a lot of effort and time on annual or semi-annual leak detection programs, and all have been pretty successful. Even Howard has got their water loss down to 10%, so it's a say even Howard, but they've been struggling the most with the water loss correction over the years. I think they finally got on top of it. But I think part of it is habits, part of it is the cost of water is a big issue. I used to be a water rates person for years, and they use a term called elasticity of demand, where you expect that after initial rate shock, people will creep back to their old habits. With water, you make permanent changes. Water-saving devices, you change your habits, and so you don't get the same bounce back that you might normally see. And we're experiencing that, but the whole country's experiencing that. Water's gotten more expensive, people are more careful with it, and you can't really buy the kind of wasteful appliances you might have had 15, 20 years ago. Everything is energy efficient and water conservation based. So just the things we use every day have gotten more efficient. So a lot of reasons for it. Okay. For the little bit of history in terms of our water use, you see alloy has a continued decline. Contract minimums are shown here just to keep everybody aware of what's happening. Howard is actually getting awfully close to what the contract minimum is. And you will be seeing an amendment to our purchase agreement to rebalance these again, probably later this year, in conjunction with a couple of other amendments. The MPU take or pay is 2.484 billion gallons a year. We haven't hit that for a while, since 2014. And this year we are behind last year in terms of sales. As everybody knows, it was a very wet year. August is usually our biggest sales month for the authority. It was terrible this year. So, but anyway, so we do our projections, run them through each member to make sure that the person in charge of it thinks they are okay, make edits as necessary, and then use those for putting our budget together. So budget and rates. The really good news is the rate-supported budget went up less than $1,000 this year from the authority. We should have somewhere between, in terms of actual budget dollars, expect our budget to go up at about a quarter of the rate of inflation for the next period of time. Our budget is about three-quarters debt service, which is now fixed, about a quarter operating. The operating will go up at inflationary rate, debt service will be fixed, so the rate should be pretty good going forward. Other good news is interest income is starting to pick up. I don't know if your folks have gotten the calls, but I've been bugged by a couple of banks, and interest rates are going from like 0.1 and 0.2 and 0.3% that have been offered as high as 0.8 for a money market. So we will generate some money because we have a lot of cash at the Water Authority. So that will help us in future years. Bond covenants. One of the problems we run into in preparing rates is bond covenants. Because we were brand new when we started and sold our bonds, we put a lot of we'll do this kind of a thing into our bond covenants. One of those is 100% coverage for debt, 125%, which means the authority must every year generate enough money to pay its debt service and all its operating costs. It's not normally a problem in older communities. For the Water Authority, where 3/4 of our budget is debt, it's a big problem. We have a lot of money in reserve where we have. It's going away now. We'll talk about that in a minute. I can't use that just to reduce rates. So we have a convoluted process called rate stabilization. Basically, a couple of years ago, the Water Authority decided that we would use our cash to offset the impact of rate increases. Rate increases have to happen, and they do. But I send a check out, the authority sends a check out to all members about the first of the year based on the impact of trying to hold the overall dollar impact to each member to about 3% a year. Those will go on through 2020, and then they should zero out, and everybody should be stabilized at that time. So the payments will decline. Last year they were about $1.2 million. This year they're something over $900,000. They'll drop to considerably less than that next year because, again, our rates are not going up as quickly and will equalize. So budget comparison. Big number is, this is the debt service is flat. Our capital improvement program has grown, although most of that will actually be financed with reserves. There's some debate with Manitowoc Public Utilities over who owes what for some capital improvements, and we'll be trying to resolve that this year. But the budget includes enough money to pay for a number of things that will need to be done. Connection fees, we send out a biannual, twice a year billing to each member for new meter connections. It's been a while since you've had one, but that's understandable. You're pretty well developed. And then transfer from reserve, interest costs have kept pretty reasonably low. They'll probably be better than that next year. So total budget up about $800 from last year. So water rates, we have two components. One is fixed, one is our operating cost. Numbers are pretty self-explanatory. The total rate this year is $4.95. That's up 6 cents from the $4.89 last year. So not too bad. But our maximum impact under our rate stabilization is $4.57. So we have a rebate process that will happen at the first of the year based on your estimated water consumption. It'll be 38 cents per 1,000 gallons. We'll just write a lump sum check and send that out. It is a little bit of an absurd system, but it is the way we have to meet bond covenants. So in total, you'll be getting a rebate check for about $155,000. Your total after rebate for the year will be about a little under $1.9 million for water. There's some rounding errors, so the numbers don't match exactly with some of the other calculations. But we'll be billing at $4.95. So, true-up process. I've explained this before, but I thought I'd run through it again quickly. And the rate stabilization. Our budget's unique for water systems. We take a budget. We allocate it based on what people say they're going to use for water every year. And basically do a percentage allocation. The percentage allocation then is divided by 12, and you get a fixed monthly bill regardless of what your water consumption is. At the end of the year, we've met our budget because that's what we build. At the end of the year, though, not everybody did what they said they were going to do. Nobody really predicts that accurately. So we recalculate the allocation for the prior year, apply that to the budget, and send out a series of rebate checks and bills, so equalize it. We do that so that everybody pays the same unit rate at the end of the year. At the start of this process, way back when, 2004, I think we started billing, there were a lot of complications. We didn't have extra money, and we actually had people paying for water that they weren't using. We were one of those. We had difficulties in terms of collecting the right amount of sums. People had different rates from each other, and it really was a mess. That's been corrected several years ago, and we've stayed on top of that. So at the end of the year, everybody's paid the same dollars and cents per 1,000 gallons. And I think that's the major issue of it. But the process, again, exists to make the bondholders happy. We know you will collect enough money. As you saw from our water sales chart, we've been declining. So if you base the budget on the wrong number, we don't generate enough money. So we base it down on sales, but on budget needs. Okay. In the works, we have some things going on this year. We'll be looking at doing some interconnects. We have been talking with Green Bay Water somewhat seriously about, can we find ways to work together? Can we find ways to interconnect our systems so that we have an emergency service that's of higher quality than our wells? We have contracted with them to do a study, a feasibility study essentially, and determine whether it's at all financially viable. What we could do for them. And that'll be going forward. The study just started, we'll stay on top of that. So emergency service supply, both ways, we're looking at that. We're looking at other opportunities for collaboration. MPU contract, we have reinitiated discussions for our water purchase agreement with Manitowoc Public Utilities in the city, and I hope to make a number of changes, not so much in the amount we pay, but in the way it's calculated. At this point in time, the system we use is not well loved by the Public Service Commission. We are, again, unique in the way we put our contract together. And we've been working with a rate expert to try to devise a system that will work for everybody. The water purchase agreement, we're looking at a couple of revisions. New member buy-in, we have a new procedure that we think will work well for all new possible members. Do some general cleanup, and as I mentioned before, we'll probably also amend the minimum take or pay for each of the member communities. We have a strategic plan that was done a few years ago, and starting in October, we will be working toward a revision to that plan. We've implemented a great deal of it, and some things have kind of changed in terms of priority. My pending retirement in early 2019 is of some concern to the authority, and so figuring out what they want to really be in a few years, what do they look for for a future, what do they want to be organizationally, will then lead to some succession planning about what do they need to be looking for a new manager or director, and hopefully that will go well. As always, we'll be talking about opportunities for collaboration and cooperation. Many of the members have really taken heart to that, and we see a lot of people working together now that to everybody's financial benefit and operational benefit. And we'll be looking at asset management. We have a very long dead-end pipeline, 65 miles from one point to the other. It's really important that we take good care of it, understand what's going on with it, and prevent whatever things that bad that could happen as much as we can. That's the end tonight. So any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Potential partners out there, other municipalities, and did you say it's a 65-mile run?
Yeah. Yeah, so we have 35 miles of 48-inch pipeline that runs from Manitowoc to Ledgeview, and then it starts shrinking in size, but all goes all the way to Howard. So we've got 65 miles all dead end. If we can do some interconnects with Green Bay, that would improve everybody's security in terms of access to water. Everybody has well protection at this point in time. The issue is the quality is considerably different. And to the extent we could make arrangements with Green Bay, if we can, some opportunity to preserve quality water if we have an emergency. What's the other part of your question?
Last year, I believe, you were talking about bringing on some new members. You were talking to some new members. How did that go?
We made a we made what I thought was a very strong proposal to the village of Suamico. And they liked the proposal, but have, at least for time being, decided to go their own way with, and continue with their well system.
Oh, really?
My understanding is that our, we surprised them with our willingness to cut a decent deal, and they were happy about that. They just weren't ready to give up control of their own system.
Okay. And kind of to Mr. Genrich's point, are there other communities that you're hoping to bring in?
We have had discussions. They aren't active right now with Denmark. They have a key there. Cooperstown last year asked a little bit about preparing for eventual water system in their end. They're not ready for it yet. And then we have some of the other original authority members that we can talk to. There's really nobody on the horizon right now, but we'll be looking and are working toward putting a package together that we can use to present to people.
Okay. Matthew, did you?
The system, we're looking at working with Green Bay, and the you said it's just getting started.
Yes.
What's the projected completion for the study?
I would expect a study done this year.
Still in 17.
Yeah,
okay.
In terms of can they do it and what could they do. The financial piece of it may take a little longer. The discussions, the way things have moved, could take a lot longer. But they're moving, and there's a lot of, I think a lot of the skepticism on both sides has gone away, and we're pretty serious about trying to find ways that help both sides.
Once the study is complete, could we either get a copy of the results or sent over, or just if you came over to do another presentation about it?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then how much is the study costing for everybody?
I think total cost is $25,000. Okay. Basically, the Green Bay is in the middle of a master planning process for their water system. We found that out and said, if you're going to do a master plan process, let's talk. Because if you make decisions in the next couple of years, those will impact your ability to work together with us. So let's figure out if we want to work together and do a yes-no kind of evaluation right now so that we don't, either one of us, take steps that would lead us down a path that's hard to correct. So they're evaluating their entire water system. They have some areas that need some improvements. And it may be a matter of, can we step a pipe up a couple of sizes for us? Could we step up some sizes from some of our system to help them? But knowing that up front is really what we're shooting for right now. And then the negotiations of what's the benefit to each will start, and whether it's financially viable or not.
What's the likelihood that that decision could be arrived at prior to January of 2019?
It's on my target list.
Okay.
I have about four priorities to get done before I disappear. So
okay.
That's number two, actually. Finishing the negotiations with Bedrock Public Utilities, which have been going on for almost 4 years now, number one. So that's number two.
But any other questions for Dave?
I know a couple other real quick ones. What kind of things are you looking at in terms of contract amendments?
With the Manitowoc?
No, you said you're going to be coming to different municipalities.
We have three things. One is the take or pay, which is just a table in the back of our contract that says if you don't use this much water, you'll pay for it anyway. A few years ago, we resolved that. Alloways was probably the worst case in that your take or pay was higher than you had ever used before, mm-hmm. Which was just an error in judgment or something. So we're going to fix that. We fixed it before. What's happened is Howard has started approaching it. We have to keep the same bottom line in terms of take or pay. So I think that's 2.2 some million dollar, or million gallon, million thousand gallons. but we can redistribute it so that there's a gap between what people are expected to use and the take or pay amounts.
So Howard will be required to use more and we'll be required to use less?
No, basically what it'll say is that everybody's good. we'll be friendly. The second piece is that I have a draft from the attorney, and we'll be working through it, have been working through it for a while, on the new member language. That's pretty complex. It is a very different take on how to allocate costs. Actually financially beneficial to us over our existing rules. The existing rules were designed as a, if you don't get in now, you're never going to get in, kind of probably not the best approach in the world. But they were designed specifically to urge people now or never. The ones who chose never, we found that after a couple of years, never really is never, because we're no longer financially viable. So the new system would spread costs a little bit differently, would generate more for the existing authority members than our current rules would, but would have less impact on new members. So a pretty complicated system, but I think very much in our favor to do something like that. There'll be some general cleanup. There's a lot of language that we have a contract written by an attorney. That's a good thing in some ways, unless you're trying to read it and understand it. So a lot of things that could be, you know, a math formula are three paragraphs of language. And so we're trying to simplify a lot of that. The contract was put together when we anticipated some things that just haven't happened or that are past history and don't need to be in the contract anymore. So thinning it out, cleaning it up. We have our origination document and our water purchase agreement with the members don't match everywhere. And so getting those in sync so that all of our documents say the same thing is probably the other piece of that that's going to happen.
Last point. Yeah. How much cash reserves do you have? About
$14 million.
So that's about 115% of annual expenses.
Yeah. We have that. We also have a sizable bought an insurance policy in lieu of funding part of our coverage requirements. But in terms of reserve accounts, should put that together. I think we're holding about $7 or $8 million in dedicated accounts for things like capital improvements, emergency replacement, operating reserves.
Is that in addition to the 14 or something?
No, that's total. Our total cash invested is about $14 million.
Okay. Okay.
Now that increases and decreases every 6 months. Our bond payments are due May 1 and November 1, so. And since it's over $9 million, our budget is pretty flexible for a while.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions for Dave? Thank you very much for coming, sir.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Dave, would you mind commenting on the open house that's coming up as long as you're out there?
We will be sending out invitations for our 10-year anniversary. We'll have an open house. There'll be a bus tour from Ledgeview site that we have our water towers on to Manitowoc Public Utilities on Friday, the October 6th, in the morning. Invitations will be going out very shortly. And Manitowoc Public Utilities will give a tour of their water plant. And Elisha will have coffee and donuts there for anybody who's interested. And it's a worthwhile visit to understand where our water comes from and how it's processed. On Monday, there will be an open house event, Monday the 9th, open house event, again commemorating that with a small luncheon afterwards. So that will be our celebration. We're putting together a little video, won't be done by then, but something we can run on the local access channels or just show when we go someplace. It'll be probably 5 to 10 minutes in length, talking about the Water Authority and showing some of our facilities. So we're feverishly working on details, but again, the invitation should go out the next day or two.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Okay. As we all know, a very important part of a village running successfully is its fire protection and its police protection, and we're blessed to have two great organizations supporting us here in Alloway, Green Bay Fire Department and the Brown County Sheriff's Department. They're great organizations because of the men and women who make those organizations up and the dedication they have to our community. And tonight, we are here to celebrate the award of Wings of Life to Deputy Dwayne Reese. And I believe we have someone from the fire department here to give that presentation. Come on up.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to quick give you just a couple-minute overview on what the program is and how long it's been around. The program was established about 4 years ago, called the Wings of Life Program, and it recognizes what we refer to as a SAVE in the field. So a SAVE, as a result of emergency medical care by first responders, is when you arrive and the patient is in a very dire condition, usually what we refer to as PNB, which is pulseless and not breathing, or pulseless non-breather, so their heart's not beating and they are not breathing. But as a result of the medical care provided at the outset of the response, they arrive successfully at the hospital with a pulse and breathing. We expanded the program shortly after it started to include anything that resulted in a major trauma that was most likely going to have a very negative outcome without immediate intervention. So what the program really does is it recognizes the effort of EMS personnel and first responders, including law enforcement. Oftentimes, law enforcement will be able to deliver some immediate medical care, including the application of an AED or an automatic external defibrillator. Really creates good morale within the departments and good camaraderie and close working together with other agencies. So it also, though, demonstrates to the public that you have a competent and excellent service that you're providing to your community members. So that's part of what the system includes is a visible recognition for the public, for them to see this helmet. And I'll explain what happened with the helmet here. But basically, anytime someone is involved in a SAVE, they get one of these small stickers and they put it on their fire helmet. Just like you see in Ohio State, every time they sack the quarterback, they get a sticker, right? Well, we give them a sticker too, not for smashing into a patient, but. So the sticker goes on the fire helmet, and the police department in Green Bay has one of these hanging in their lobby. And every officer that's ever been involved in a SAVE, they get a sticker, they put it on the helmet hanging in the lobby, they initial it, and put the date on it. Okay, so the other officers can see it, the public can see it, and so on. And, you know, an EMS event, an emergency, is a major impact on someone's life. And it's an impact on the life of anyone that they touch, any community member that they touch. So the need for safety, feeling good about where you are and how you're doing, is a basic human need, and that's what we're providing and meeting here. So you help meet that through the provision of service as a village. And if people feel safe where they are, they're going to want to stay where they are. So it really is a strong part of the community. So I'm just going to read you very briefly the first paragraph of the award letter here from Chief Letton and our medical director, Dr. Kyle McCarty. So on May 22nd, 2017, the crews from Station 8 in Alloway responded for a 76-year-old female with difficulty breathing. Upon arrival, the patient was in full cardiac arrest with Brown County Sheriff's Deputy Dwayne Reese doing CPR. Crews initiated resuscitative measures following protocol and American Heart Association guidelines. As a result of doing outstanding CPR, electrical, and medication therapy, the patient was resuscitated prior to arrival at the hospital. And there's some more after that that just basically goes on again thanking the individual, but that's what happened. So if Deputy Reese would come up, please. Captain Sandberg, would you come up as well? So I just want to take the opportunity to, again, recognize Deputy Dwayne Reese for his outstanding efforts in saving the life of a 76-year-old resident of the village of Alloway. And we'll hand this letter to you, some of the stickers that you guys can use, and just extend our appreciation. Thank you very much. Thank you. Quick, I'd expect to talk or anything tonight, but I've been serving Brown County now almost 17 years. I started out in the jail division. I've been on patrol now for almost 9 years. I actually started out in Alloway for the first 2 years I was on patrol. I've learned a lot. I'm still learning. I'll continue to, you know, serve the community of Brown County with, you know, speed, integrity, and professionalism, as I always have, and I will until the day I retire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Deputy Reese.
Say cheese.
And thank you to your family for sharing you with us.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, moving on. We have announcements. Tax revenue from schools for $80 million. At our last village board meeting, I just wanted to clarify. At our last village board meeting, I was going over some numbers, what the sale of the Green Bay Correctional Institution would mean to the village of Alloway in terms of tax dollars. And I misspoke when I said that an $80 million development would generate $140,000 in tax revenue for schools. Jonathan Anderson, Press Gazette reporter, reported that, and I said, "Oh, Jonathan, you made a mistake. It's really $800,000. He said, "Well, you said $140,000. So I went back and listened, and I sure did. So I made a mistake. An $80 million investment for economic development in Alloway would generate approximately $800,000 per year for our schools. And as we know, we need school revenue. So I just wanted to clarify that. And then we have budget dates. We are in the process of budget. And as of Wednesday, September 20th, the budget worksheets should be returned to the finance director for review and final preparation for the board. I'm assuming that is still on track. Week of October 2nd, the department head meetings with the administrator and village president as needed. On October 16th, the budget books distributed to the village board and department heads. We will have budget workshops, on Monday, October 23rd, and Wednesday, October 25th, here at Village Hall at 5 p.m. And then we will have a hearing on the budget Tuesday, November 21st at 6:30 p.m. I haven't heard anything different, so I'm assuming that that's still going. But I know staff is working hard to keep our costs down and facing some challenges and increased costs that are unavoidable. But I have confidence that at the end we'll do well. C, National Register Process meeting on Tuesday, October 10th. Trevor, would you like to fill us in?
Sure. Tuesday, October 10th here at the Village Hall, we'll be inviting the residents of the Miramar Historic District. We'll have a representative from Wisconsin Historical Society, as well as the consultant we used, Legacy Architecture, And this is just a standard procedure. This is more of a formality, just updating the residents of where everything's at. And where we're at is the district is scheduled to be reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Review Board on December 1st, I believe. And from there, then I believe the National Park Service has to respond within, I believe, 3 months. So if everything goes okay, we could have our first historic district here in the village by late spring of next year.
Very nice. Thank you. Any other announcements from staff? Brand's been very quiet tonight. Any announcements from board members? Hearing none, we will move on to number 5, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? What made you think? You want to wait until it's up, until we speak? What item are you interested in?
9C.
Okay. I will make sure to, I will try to make sure to remember to open the floor at that point in time. If not, please raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on something?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Amway Bike Ped Committee. I'm concerned about the use of planned district developments in Alloway. We have 2 of them going right now. I'm specifically concerned about the old Chapel Hill PDD. Again, there's no sidewalks there now. There's no sidewalks planned this year or next year. They're required to be, pedestrian accommodations are required for all PDDs. So I'd like the board members to look at the state statute and make sure that we're in compliance there. They don't give you a lot of guidelines, but they do say you do have to make accommodations. There's going to be school kids in there walking in the street on snowy days in those apartments to get up to Webster School. There's people who want to get across to the Fox River Trail, and there's no sidewalk there. So I'm concerned about that. And then the PDD, the new plan development district on the Village Hall site for the brewery and tap room. I believe that that's being put as a PDD to circumvent the zoning code. If you're not allowed to put a tap room there under the current zoning, you're not allowed to put it there under a PDD. It would need to be a brew pub instead of a tap room. And I'm not a microbrewery expert, but there is a difference. Otherwise, it wouldn't have different words for the same item. I believe that a brew pub is more of has more of a restaurant feel to it, whereas in the tap room is more of a bar, limited service. And I just got a copy of the purchase agreement on that site today, and it says that they're going to be using food trucks there. And so that concerned me a little bit. Is that that doesn't sound very permanent to have food trucks servicing the food needs of the tap room. So I was a little concerned about that, too. So you're not allowed to use the plan development district to circumvent the zoning code. That property should be fully developed, shouldn't be split up into 3 pieces. If you're going to develop the whole property as a PDD, the entire property should be developed. You shouldn't cut off a little piece and get stuck with a just an orphan property that you might not sell for quite a long time. I did notice that I couldn't figure out how much the developer was actually paying for the site. It says that he's going to be paying $399,000, but there's a matching $399,000 cash infusion from the village to pay for that, so I'd like to know how much the developer is actually going to be paying for it. So the village is going to pay all cleanup costs, give them a cash infusion equal to the purchase amount, and I believe the village gets reimbursed if there is any reimbursement from the federal government for the cleanup of that site, which may or may not ever happen. So it looks like he's getting the land for free, but I couldn't fully understand when I read the purchase agreement that I received today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight? Hearing none, we will move on to action item number 6, action regarding application for Class A beer and liquor license for Pit Row Inc., Pit Row Alloway, Shelley Cosgrove, at 22003 South Webster Avenue in Alloway. We don't have Shelley with us tonight, but we do have Mr. Tom Matuzak, the owner of Pit Row, here tonight. So I will accept a motion on this item, or if someone wants Mr. Matuzak to speak up before and after. Motion?
Are you looking for motion to?
Whatever you want.
Motion to approve.
Okay, thank you.
Add contingent upon surrendering of the current liquor license out there.
So we're just basically changing ownership.
Yep. Seconded by?
Second.
Trustee Green. Any discussion? Anything you want to say, Mr. Matuzak?
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. We do have a perfect track record. We hope to maintain the perfect track record of never selling to a minor or a intoxicated person. We take it serious and it's a privilege to serve up also. Thank you for your approval.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for continuing to do business in Alloy. Action item number 7, Resolution 2017-30, Wisconsin Ready for Reuse Loan and Grant Program. You feel like educating us, Trevor?
Sure. This is, so the board approved staff going forward in applying for the Wisconsin Ready for Reuse Loan Program through the DNR back in June. And this is just a step in the process. Is we have to have a resolution just saying that the board or in the village will be participating and following all the rules that the DNR requires as part of the program, and that we are good for our money. It's essentially what it is. So this is just the next step in the process. And yeah.
And is this a zero interest loan or a low interest loan that we're?
It would hopefully be a zero-interest loan, but it's something that's negotiated at the time of approval.
Okay. So this is a low-cost way to help us clean up the site. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve resolution as presented.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 8. Resolution 2017-31, opposing State of Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee's 2017 to 2019 budget provision, prohibiting local control over short-term rentals greater than 7 days. If you read your handout, the League said that the Joint Finance Committee threw this in at the end, and the qualifications, like Dave was talking about, contract talk, it's very strange. But basically, they want to prohibit a local municipality from saying no to long-term rentals greater than 7 days. But then they try to make it better by saying you can say how many consecutive days to a maximum in 365-day calendar and back and forth. I spoke with Allison Swanson from the village of Ashwaubenon today, who was very concerned about it. The reason being, they are where we're 30% nonprofit or tax exempt property. They're 54% taxable by commercial. So less than 50% of their property is residential, and they're trying to create a residential feel. They've done so especially around Lambeau, limiting the places where people could do short-term rentals for any period of time. So the League's main concern, as I read, is First of all, they're taking local control away. And a municipality should be able to protect its right to do what its citizens need. So that's the overall vibe going on. So based on that, I will accept any kind of a motion. Trustee Harris.
Move to approve resolution 2017-31 as presented.
Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Green, any discussion? Trustee.
Just wondering, so we wouldn't have to, like if this, we don't have to follow, it's just taking the right away to make our own decision, right?
Yep.
It's nothing that we're going to
do.
Correct.
We are not doing anything except saying we want the right to make
to
up
make
our mind,
decision.
Make our own decisions.
Yep.
And whether or not this makes any difference, we won't know because I know it's going back to the governor. They're meeting with the governor shortly to make that decision. So if we do approve this, we'll ask Debbie to get a copy over to Eschweiler. Anyway. Any other discussion? We have a motion in favor of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 9. Regarding Public Works minutes dated September 13th, 2017. Action item number 9A, Riverside Drive North Crossing Engineering Contract. Craig, you want to give us a little heads up?
If you recall, we did conduct a conceptual engineering with Meadenhunt for location of the North Crossing on Riverside Drive. In your packet is a little bit of information that was generated as part of that initial concept development. The idea was to locate where would this be and what are the key issues. Are there any issues or problems with locating on that north end and what would be the best location? So that has been completed. There is a permit application that's filed with the DOT. They have given us some comments back from an engineering standpoint. The location that we show is on the south side of the Marine Riverside intersection. So the crossing itself would be on the south side of that intersection. And that is what the DOT felt would be the best location given the traffic, pedestrian traffic, is going to want to cross at that point and get to the trail. So we are at the point where we should proceed with the final engineering plans for submittal to the DOT. The conceptual design was reviewed by DOT engineering. It is now with the traffic people to comment on signage and things of that sort. We expect that feedback shortly. But this next phase is the actual preparation of the plans and specifications, which would be submitted to the DOT for review and approval. The system, this is a picture of the system itself. It's a rapid, rectangular rapid flash, flashing beacon. It's a radio control between the signals. It's solar powered. And there would be an advanced beacon further south that would also actuate when this does, so drivers would know that they're approaching a crossing. This is the standard approach for a crossing of this type. This is the only one that we could permit at this location. We can't use a hybrid beacon. Our one shot at the hybrid beacon is the one that we have under construction on the south end. So the recommendation is to go ahead with the engineering contract and start the final engineering. And as President Rafter and I discussed here briefly, monitor the permit approval and make sure that we're getting that we're okay to go before we spend a lot of the engineering dollars, which I believe we will be, but it is a milestone that we will check. The schedule will be to complete the engineering in about the next 6 weeks, submit it for approval, and the target for bidding the project will be late December, early January. So this, if we follow that schedule, if we're able to maintain that schedule, this should be a project that would go to construction early next year. Mead and Hunt is the engineering firm that is doing the south crossing for us. That's gone very well. I would expect that this will go equally as well, and we should launch this project in the near future.
So these are still user-actuated signals, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And, okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green?
Move to approve as presented.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Genrich, any discussion? I was always an advocate of having the Hawk Crossing up there, but if you can't have it, what I do like is the advanced signals before the crossing. I like that it's user actuated, and one comment I made in the Public Works Committee is that I have seen signs with the people crossing the yellow signs, but with a red outline, and it really stands out. So I've asked Craig to ask the state to consider that in their design, because it'll stick out and let people know they need to stop. Any other discussion on this item?
Just it continues to fit in well with our overall bike and ped program and safe roads and schools and pedestrian safety and the priorities that we continue to make that. So I think it'd be a great addition up there on the north end.
And just as a reminder, that the dollars for this are coming from the stadium tax refund. That's what we allocated it from. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And just a note on the south end, our crews have been working to prep it. And one of the gentlemen who lives right where one of the signals is going in, we had to negotiate with him to move his fence. He blocked me off in the driveway a couple weeks ago and said, "Can I complain?" And I said, "Well, sure." He said, "I just want to tell you how happy I am with your crew, with your staff, working through this whole process." He called Craig out individually, saying that Craig's been a pleasure to work with, and that the whole team has been very professional and really listened to people. So thank you very much to you and your team, Craig. Okay, action item 9B, BCSW, Organic Dumpster at Farm Site.
Brown County Solid Waste approached us a couple of weeks ago when they lost the site that they had at the Brown County Extension Office because their office was sold, I think, to the city of Green Bay. But anyway, it was sold, so they had to move their organics dumpster from that site, and they're looking for another home. They approached us because of our kind of central location on the east side of the river as being a good place to relocate that organics dumpster. What this is for the past, I believe, 8 or 9 months now, Brown County Solid Waste has been doing a pilot scale demonstration of an organics dumpster, which is organics being food waste, collected by residents and commercial businesses. And I think it's UW Oshkosh that's actually operating the digester. But they're looking at the feasibility of separating from your garbage food waste and processing that separately. Number one is a way to reduce material going to a landfill. Number two is a way to recover a usable product, producing electricity and animal feed and things of that sort. So they approached me about locating it here on our Village Hall site with what their requirements are for the facility. They said that's really not going to be feasible for us. They wanted it in a secure site. And we really can't open up our back area to leave that open for people to drive back there on a routine basis. So I suggested the yard waste site. It would work well for this because we open the gates and close the gates every day on that portion where we would locate this. It would be right inside the large gate, and it would be located next to where we provide compost and wood chips for residents. All we would have to do is just put some of our millings and gravel on that area just to provide a nice dry spot for this to sit. They have a contract with Sanimax to pick this up every other week. Sanimax or Waste Management, I forget which one. But anyway, it's picked up every other week, transported to the digester facility, and replaced with a clean dumpster. It is covered. They feel that there's very little odor associated with it. I did go look at one, and that was the case. It was a hot day, and it smelled like garden soil is what it smelled like if you were standing next to the dumpster. 20 feet away, there wasn't any odor. So I think this is a nice opportunity for a cooperative effort between ourselves and Brown County Solid Waste, and gives them a site where they can operate this. It will probably be there for the next year. So our recommendation is to go ahead and offer that site to them. And if we run into any issues, we'll just deal with it, but I don't think we will. And this will allow this site to be open the 4 days of the week to get at the dumpster, Monday through Thursday and Saturday, so it should work out very well. We don't have to change anything in our operation. We just continue as we have been. We're just providing a site for them.
So the dumpster wouldn't be on our property for another year, probably?
I'm guessing the study will go for about a year.
Oh, okay.
So probably next fall this time or end of next year, it'll be completed.
Oh, okay. Okay, do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Just one question. Would we want to change or add any signage to help direct people to this or promote the usage? And could Brown County help with that?
Brown County will take care of any signage that's needed and so forth. That's probably a good thing to point out for them, that they could put a sign out there at the intersection of Libel and LeBron, because people might not know where this is. However, they're going to send a map out to all of their people that are participating in this, so they will get the information. We'll give them our operating schedule so they know what it is, because the schedule does vary depending on the time of the year. I would say they're welcome to put a couple signs up on the street to point to it. That should be fine. We will have to put a sign at the dumpster. We don't want them driving out through the whole site, so we are going to put a sign to close the back area,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can drive in and turn around, but they can't drive behind their building.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, good point.
Greg, is this just raw food?
Yeah.
Like you'd put in a mulch pack?
Yeah, apple peelings, potato peelings.
Like that, okay.
There's no bones, no meat. It's just fluid-type products, if you will.
And they will make that known so that people understand that?
Yeah, they do. This has been running for months already. It's just that it now has to be relocated because they lost the site that they were using.
And there's identified people who use it, or is it open to the public?
They have a group of about 300 people that are participating. More people can participate. They just have to sign up with Brown County. And maybe what we could do is we can put it on our website too, so people know about it. And maybe we'd have more people sign up that way. We can do that. Send it out in our newsletter too.
Do grocery stores participate in that?
I don't know what the whole mix of the users are, but I'm sure there has to be some of the food processing places, grocery stores and restaurants. I'm sure there is, because otherwise they wouldn't generate the volume that they need to do this study. Yeah.
Interesting.
You said that they lost their current site.
Yeah.
Can you tell me where that site was and why?
That was the Brown County Extension Office that was along the Fox River in Green Bay, in Bellevue, I guess.
On the East River.
Yeah. On the East River, yeah. I'm sorry. That's on the East River. But that was the extension office of where they had this, but that building was sold.
I like the idea. I'm happy to open it up. My only concerns would be, A, if people have to be educated on what to put in there, do we have to police that?
No, we don't have to do that. That's all up to Brown County.
Okay. and somehow we have to let them know, unless they live in Alloway, that grass clipping area and all that isn't for them.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. We're trying it for a year.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should.
Mm-hmm. Was it 9B? C. He won 9C.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Glasses don't work so well.
You're being watched after. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item 9C, preliminary engineering for 2019 reconstruction project. Do I have a motion on this item? And I will open it. Do you want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, why don't you fill us in?
Sure. In your packet is an update to the long-range capital improvement plan for public works. We've talked about this a number of times before. Every 6 months or so, we update our long-range plan. We did several things in updating this long-range plan. One is we compressed it just a little bit in schedule because the end date was so far out. So we basically moved a couple of projects ahead to cut off the last year in this 12-year plan, if you will. And we moved Weigel Street back a year because in the local funding, there isn't enough funding to finance the resurfacing of Weigel through the local planning organization. So it got moved back a year, so we made that change. At any rate, looking at this plan and looking at what's coming up in 2019 for reconstruction. And that's not our maintenance projects out of the operating budget. This is the reconstruction that we borrow for. Looking at the schedule of what we have to do to be ready for 2019, right about now is when we would start the engineering on that project. And the initial step is the field survey work that has to be done, which we like to do before we get into winter. Because once we have a lot of snow on the ground, then it's very hard to do that survey work. So what we brought forward to the committee was to go ahead with the initial part of the engineering work for the 2019 project, which is the topographic survey. And then with that topographic survey information, compiling that into the initial street views, if you will, the plan view of what the street looks like with all the survey data on it. That's our normal first step. That's the recommendation that we brought forward. We have the money available for it within the bond issue that we have now, in large part because the Weigel Street project is moved back. It won't fall into this bond issue. It'll fall into the next one. We had some engineering dollars in there for Weigel Street. So this is probably going to be about $25,000 to get through this topographic survey and initial layouts of the street work. We would do the survey work in October, November, December. We will contact the two or three firms that we have working for us now on projects and give them a scope and get a proposal from them for it and evaluate, make a decision on which one we think would be the best fit and a reasonable cost. We actually have a couple of firms that are working, one on the Safe Route to School and one on the reconstruction project. So, and both have done work for us in the past and do a nice job. So we may go out to a third firm as well. We always look at qualifications first and then look at cost. So the recommendation is to proceed with the topographic survey and preliminary engineering on this next project and get that started.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on the item?
Just to clarify, so all we're looking really to do is just reallocate where the money will get
spent.
Right. That's
yes.
That's in essence what you're looking for.
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay, just make sure I sunk in properly.
Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I'll make the motion to approve preliminary engineering for the 2019 reconstruction project.
Second.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
I don't know if we should potentially open up the floor. I didn't know if that should happen before the motion or not. That's all I was going to say. So,
do I have a motion to open the floor? Trustee Harris. Seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Would you like to come up, sir?
My name is John Trester. I live at 2030 Jourdain. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of activity going on with the transportation in the state right now as far as politics goes in Madison, and they're doing some very undesirable things, but that's beyond the scope of this meeting. I would like to say that I've seen the preliminary engineering drawings that were provided, and I was very impressed by the professional job that the engineers did. I think it's a terrific looking plan, and excuse me. And I hope it goes through just the way it is. It's a remarkable step forward for the village of Alloway into the future. Thank you.
I have to ask, John, what did you like about it?
It covers all the bases. It moves the sidewalks away from the street. Because if you walk on Webster, it can be somewhat startling and even frightening to have cars going past you at excessive rates of speed. I mean, even 30 miles an hour, if they're right on the gutter line, you know, it can be a mess. And when there's anything in the street, as snow and slush and water, and it just gets sprayed right at the pedestrians. There is an allowance for bike lanes, which, of course, I'm in favor of. Even though, personally, I may not be 100% in favor of them because there's a maintenance issue that usually goes along with them. I mean, they're great if they're swept. Ashwaubenon has difficulty keeping the lanes clear on Broadway because of the recycle plant, and they continually dump glass in the street, and it gets, and just by the traffic moving, it drifts over to the right. And it's very often when I go down Broadway, I don't even ride in the bike lane because it's covered with glass. So I'm not required to ride on glass, so I ride in the lane. And the lanes are adequate. There's a nice median going down the center, and it just looks very nice.
Well, great. Thank you very much for spending the time to come and comment on that.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Jim Orwick, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Bike Ped Committee in charge of pedestrian issues. It's good to see the long-term capital plan. I've been familiar with it at the plan commission or at the public works meetings. It's encouraging to see that the village does make sidewalk plans, you know, 5 and 10 years out. I think you misspoke on that one at your last meeting too, Jim. They do make plans and budgets more than just 1 year out in the Public Works Committee. So I think it's important that we let the village residents, particularly on St. Mary Street and on Beaumont and on West St. Joseph, know where they stand with regards to possible sidewalks on their streets and where the preliminary plans are, for whether it's on the east side or the west side or the north or south. So if people want to know that, I know that it's not, the engineering drawings haven't been done yet. But I've been in meetings where in one set of drawings it was on St. Mary Street, it was on the Snow side, and then after some decisions were made here with regards to the commercial property on Riverside Drive, that sidewalk got shifted over. So people should have as much lead time as possible to make their opinions known whether where the property, where the sidewalk should be. In general, when I talk to people about sidewalks, they're all in favor of sidewalks, and they especially like them when it's on the side opposite of their home. So that's why it usually works. Thank you.
Take a motion to pick up the rules. So Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. We have a motion and a second to approve the preliminary engineering for the 2019 reconstruction project. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes.
Did it take them both to return?
Yeah. Okay, item number 10. Any future agenda items? Trevor.
I just want to clarify, I think at our last meeting we announced that the Webster Avenue, the Graves is going to be present tonight to present Webster Avenue streetscape preliminary concept, and that was pushed back to October 17th. Now, likely be before the meeting, only because we have some, I believe, a budget presentation that night. I think it's scheduled for 5:45. And the reason for the change was there was a conflict with our consultant. He wasn't able to find a sitter. So,
well, some folks brought their kids, right? Yeah. So 5:45.
Correct.
On the 17th.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Future agenda items? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(e), deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. Thank you for joining us tonight, folks. Specifically, the 1677 South Webster Avenue property and 3241-3245 Riverside Drive, as well as Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(g), conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved, specifically open records issues. Do I have a motion for that effect? Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor?
Aye.
Roll
aye.
Call. Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Genrich?
Aye.
Trustee Atwood?
Aye.
President Rafter? Aye. Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
We are enclosed.